You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello everyone, welcome along to the latest edition of the William Hill Golf Podcast. Good to have you with us again. Dave Kellner here alongside Mike Grenham and Dave Tindall to bring you coverage of the unofficial fifth major. The Players' Championship is the big heat this week in the world of golf. First of all, a warm welcome to Dave Tindall.
Hello Dave.
How are you?
I'm very good, thank you. Looking forward to this one.
Yes indeed, and because he said it was a 1-6 shot on me opening up the podcast by saying it's the fifth major, warm welcome to Mike Grenham as well.
Yeah, the fifth major.
It's a bit 1990s to call it that, isn't it?
It is, isn't it, a little
after
bit.
After these WGC
Are
events.
You looking at Dave?
Yeah, Yeah.
You're not far off the mark there, Mike. That's the first bet landed this week, without a doubt.
Yeah, the 90s just call, they want the clothes back.
No talk about last week, straight into this week, because it is one of the big events of the season. And Rory McIlroy is the 8-1 favourite here with William Hill for the Players. Jordan Spieth is 10-1, Jason Day is 12-1, Ricky Fowler is 18s, Hideki Matsuyama in the betting at 25s, along with Justin Rose, Adam Scott and Sergio Garcia, both 28-1, and it's 30-1 and bigger the remainder. And at TPC Sawgrass, once again the host venue, and it's provided us with some special finishes down the years. Pete Dye's design is definitely fiendish, Mike, but it does offer the opportunity for players to rack up good numbers as well, as we saw last year with Ricky Fowler's amazing finish.
Yeah, it's just a great course, isn't it, Dave? What did Fowler finish? He was about 6-under, wasn't he, for the last 6 holes?
He went birdie, eagle, birdie, birdie to finish.
Wow.
And then played brilliantly in the playoff to see off Kevin Kisner and Sergio Garcia.
Yeah. But it's just one of those courses as well, as we well know, if the wind goes up at the 17th, which we have to mention as well, the Island 17th, they have to get that one in, don't we? that you can shoot big scores, can't you? Yeah, I think back to Len Matisse and many years ago was right in the running and had it was carnage on that hole. And there are other holes that are tricky as well. So I love Scott Sawgrass. I really like it.
And you mentioned the 17th. As noted by Alex Myers on Twitter, who's a golf journo, in the past 7 years, the 17th hole's actually played as just the 10th toughest on the course.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
Yeah, because if the wind doesn't blow.
I think it's been quite benign in recent years. But some years, you can almost see them visibly shaking when they get there, you know. So, but yeah, no, that doesn't surprise me. Great hole it is, though.
It is. And it is an iconic venue, Dave. Is there anything statistically that stands out when you come to analyse this tournament each and every year? What do you look for?
Yeah, I think I look fairly standard. Good greens in regulation stats, good scrambling, maybe those two above others. Not quite sure. Maybe if you track back to Tiger's record there, it was very iffy, wasn't it? I think he won it twice, but he had a lot of things that weren't right. So you're thinking maybe, you know, is accuracy a little bit more important than normal on this course?
I think accuracy...
Not off the tee, I don't think.
It trumps distance, doesn't it? I don't think you need to be long or powerful.
You think kind of like McIlroy had a terrible record there and it took him a while to get used to it. I certainly, as I'll say, I don't like backing short prices in this event, I have to say.
Okay. I think one thing that I notice when you look back through the winners of the event, Mike, we've had top-class winners here, but we've had some shocks as well. And I think even though course form is almost imperative around here, it doesn't have to be top-class course form. I think the experience that you gather over numerous years stands you in good stead.
Yeah, having played it a few times is fairly important. Yeah, I think you're allowed to players... Martin Kaymer and others have had some, and Fowler had kind of a mixed bag, but they did have a good finish or two there as well. I think you have to have some experience of it, and have played there at least once is kind of reasonable, top 25 kind of thing. But it's not, I hear what you're saying.
And even though we talk about course debutants at the Masters at Augusta and how they've fared, I think that the winds are changing somewhat on the PGA Tour in terms of, I think debutants now can come to courses like this, Dave, and maybe compete first time round. We've seen David Lingmuth back in 2013 go well. Jordan Spieth, who doesn't really count because of his quality, but put up a good challenge in 2014. And last year, Kevin Kisner on debut went close. So maybe it's not the be-all and end-all not having experience at Sawgrass.
Yeah, no, there's no... I think at the Masters, everyone just thinks of that fuzzy Zeller stat and that kind of, you know, affects all their strategy that, oh, well, the first time we'll never win there. I don't think there's a similar stat at Sawgrass, but I don't particularly, it wouldn't put me off, put it that way, if someone was playing there for the first time and I thought he was in good form.
Picks then first. Picks, how many have you got, Mike?
2-3.
Okay, how many have you got, Dave?
I've got one in the outright and one in a side market.
Ooh. Okay, I'm going to go with 3 picks, but I've trimmed one down slightly in terms of weight of bet.
You might have done that with 2 of them, because I know what one of yours is. We're on the same player and our player's been cut as well.
Oh, he has.
Yeah.
He has been chopped in a little bit. So, yeah, I suppose I'll be playing one maximum stake and one just trimming it down
a little bit more. Yeah.
So
it's a bit frustrating that the odds compilers have spiked us.
They have a little bit. I'm going to lead off with a guy that I do think is overpriced, though.
Yep.
Am I okay to lead off?
Of course.
Yeah, you've got the most picks.
Yeah, I'm going Patrick Reed as my headline. Okay. Is he your would he be your headline as well?
A joint headline.
Okay.
Have you
okay.
got 2 the same then?
Yep.
Yeah, we have. We talked off air about one of them, but this one we've not discussed. And
no, 50, we haven't discussed this one
50 to 1, I think, is a good price on Patrick Reed. I'll play him a point
Huge.
Each way. Yeah, he's always a player I think might worth glancing at when approach play is more valued than what you do from the tee, as it is here at Sawgrass. And he's definitely slipped under the radar at 50 to 1. He's maintained his form well all season. Second place finish behind Charlie Hoffman in Texas showed that he's almost ready to get back in the winner's circle. That was his 5th top 10 in 10 starts on tour. And even though he missed the cut on debut here in 2014, finished 24th last year, and that finish offers certain encouragement that he can conquer Sawgrass. The putter needs to warm up a little, but he ranks 15th in strokes gained tee to green, and more importantly, 3rd on tour in scrambling. Earlier on in this season, Reed was going off at prices alongside some of the game's elite, and now he's 50 to 1, and I don't quite get it.
No, I don't, Davey, just for some reason. He's thought he was 2nd on his penultimate outing as well, as you said, in Texas, so it's very hard to understand. The one thing he hasn't quite done is get struck tee to green together with his putting.
Yeah.
He's done well on one week, and then not so well on the other. If he can get both of those things together, his scrambling's been as it usually is, exceptional. So I think, I can't really add anything more to what you say. I'd rather he had an early tee off. For once, we know the tee off times doing this podcast. He's out in the afternoon. I would rather an early start at Sawgrass on Thursday, because I think it's going to be a little bit windy potentially in the afternoon and those greens get a bit hard. So I'll be hoping he starts well in round one. But yeah, I'm with you totally on that one, Dave. He's not far off the elite, and 50 to 1. It's a very good price.
It's one of those courses, I think, for him that you look back through his resume as a golfer since he turned pro. He likes golf courses where it doesn't really matter from the tee. It's what you're doing with your second shot, how you're approaching the greens, and his scrambling has been sensational.
Yeah,
for
me, strokes tee to green is the most important start here. You know, I think that's second shots are very important. And I just think he's well overpriced at 50s. I would probably be, he's probably my number one choice, although my second choice is a shorter price.
That's interesting. I just didn't consider him
really
at all. I just think he'll get too wound up by the course and missing putts.
Right, okay. His putting hasn't been brilliant this season yet. That is the one slight reservation I have, but he is a good putter, though. If you look historically, he's a good putter, Patrick Reed, isn't he? I think he's just had an off time with it the first.
Yep.
And he's still competing. He's still competing despite not
he's
putting
20th
well.
On strokes game putting last year on tour.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's no doubt about he can put well when he's in form.
Who's your number one pick, Dave?
Yeah, I'm going for a guy who I think's overpriced for who he is and what he is. He's the world number 6, Henrik Stenson, at 30 to 1.
Okay.
I just, when you're scrolling down, you've got in your head, right, he's going to be 20s or something, 25s, 22s.
Yeah.
So to say 30s and those sort of prices, I went, oh, really? Why is that then? Am I missing something?
Maybe it's just because of that missed cut last week.
So that's probably the obvious reason. He missed the cut last week. Well, he's missed the cut 4 years out of the last 5 at Quail Hollow. He hates Quail Hollow. Has a terrible record, not even been in the top 50 at Quail Hollow. So I can strike a line through that. I can strike a line through the Masters. Basically, at the Masters, Stenson is somewhere between 15th and 25th every year. So he was 24th
this year. Dirk can strike a line through all that negative evidence.
I love it when you find a miscut and it's just on a course where they're always rubbish, so it doesn't count. So I was glad to just get off there after two rounds.
I listened to last year's podcast and I had a decent bet on him in this event last year. I think I had 2.5 points each way on Stenson. I can't remember what price it was, to be honest. But shorter than 30s, I'm pretty sure. 20s, yeah. I can't remember. He did disappoint me. I really fancied him for it. I thought that's why I listened to make sure I did do it. But you know, historically, he really likes the place, doesn't
well,
he?
Well, though, just to give you an example why I don't like the top three for this week, right? Between them, they've had one top five in 13 attempts, Spieth, McIlroy and Day.
Spieth's only been here twice, hasn't he?
Yeah, but, you know, just saying between them as a body of work, that's not great, is it? That's not. I'm not even talking about winning. One top five
it's
between
a 50%
them.
Top five for Spieth.
Yeah, but I'm throwing him in to make a point.
All right.
So I don't like...
Does the word spurious being so?
I don't feel sick. What do you mean? So I think you've got to look further. I mean, Stenson's got to win. He's got a top five. He's got top tens, another top 20s. So if I'm ignoring his Quail Hollow form, which I think on historical record you can. Masters form, yeah, whatever. Normal Stenson Masters.
Yeah.
Before that, he was second and third, so he's been placed in two of his last four starts. Florida guy, based in Florida, he's got a load of top fives in Florida. So he's definitely each way value, I think, at 30s. Okay, he's not won for a while.
That is the big stumbling block with Henrik Stenson, isn't it, really? Because
which is why I wouldn't go in at something like 16s or 18s, but I think there's a big each way
that makes sense.
Elements of that to this bet, because he's so often, it's not like he finishes ninth in Florida. He finishes like fourth and third and second. So I think it is a good each way bet. And the fact that he's won there, 2009, I think he might go in again.
Fair enough. Yeah, I like Stenson 30-1.
He was on my longer list.
I think if you're looking for one of those guys...
There's a lot of players who've got chances this
week. And they're looking at a guy that's really solid as well. Stenson's definitely one of them from an each way perspective.
He can hit his three woods and then hit an ice iron into the green. And I fancied him really strongly last year, to be fair.
Okay. Second selection, then. Do you want me to go? I'm gonna still have a little bet on Brandon Grace, despite him being 33-1. I do like him this week, and it would be remiss of me just to leave him out. So I'll cut it down to half a point each way because he has been cutting the betting
only just
here with William.
So you're being very honest.
I am being very honest. But
that's every week.
That's the curse I have. I'm just so honest.
It's weird.
It is honest because he was cut around about half an hour ago. So
half an hour.
Yeah, 33-1. Brandon Grace is now. Tim Clark, the only South African to win at Sawgrass, but I'm hoping that Brandon Grace can emulate his compatriot this week. And he looks like the ideal fit around this venue to me. He's been on the verge of winning a major championship, won on a Pete Dye design at Harbortown just a couple of starts ago. And his wedge play, we mentioned this on the podcast after that triumph, his wedge play was phenomenal. And that's a big factor at Sawgrass. Small greens, need to wedge the ball well. And when he puts... at his absolute best, he can light it up, Brandon Grace. And I see no reason that he's not going to carry the form that he showed in Harbortown and at Texas in San Antonio the week after into this week. Started slowly in San Antonio, but then played really well at the weekend. He's 11th on tour in strokes gained tee to green, 23rd in greens in regulation, 34th in scrambling. And he's made both cuts here, so he's got a little bit of experience at the venue.
He was in the mix. His form figures don't look fantastic here, do they? But he was in the mix after a couple of rounds last year, wasn't he?
He played poorly late on, didn't he? Yeah, so I like Brandon Grace this week. 33-1, little bit shorter than I wanted, but I'll play him half a point each way.
Yeah. You may have noticed, Dave, my defensiveness over Jordan Spieth earlier on. He is my second pick. I think 10-1 is a big price about Jordan. But for that one hole at the Masters where he did have a bit of a meltdown, let's be clear, on the par three, but still finished second in the Masters. He's got a win and a second and four top tens from nine events this year. I think he's going to bounce back here. I really do. He was fourth on debut here, led after 54 holes. Great strokes, tee to green player. That's my key stat this year, where he was fourth last year on that stat, and he's 14th this year. Puts like a dream, scrambles well. I just think he's got the mentality to bounce back. Let's not forget he birdied, I think, two of his next three holes after the meltdown in Augusta. So I just think this guy's very strong and he's a great player. And I think Sawgrass is kind of perfect for him. Yeah, 10-1 is a nice price for me. I wouldn't be surprised to see some people, maybe our odds compilers will even push him out somewhere. I don't know, but he's one of those you could see people trying to get a little bit. And I just don't understand it. I think he's in amazing form, got good course form, messed up a bit last year, admittedly. But I think Jordan Spieth could go very, very well this week. And I fancy him much stronger than I do McIlroy and Day.
Yeah, he's the one out of the top three. I would pick him ahead of the other two.
And it's worth noting, just to pick up on a point you made there, Mike, often in big events like the major championships and the players, we have a tendency here at William Hill to push the prices out on Wednesday. So I'd have a good look on Wednesday.
Yeah, it's very possible that Wednesday morning could happen. Could be pushed out. I don't know that. I've not heard anything, but yeah, I think tens is double figure odds at this course. I like it.
The question you've got to ask yourself with Spieth, and you've obviously answered it there, Mike, is whether or not he does bounce back from that Masters meltdown. There's been a lot of time. He's had a lot of time in between. He's been playing Oakmont, hasn't he, in the lead up to the US Open as well. If you think he's going to bounce back quickly, that is an attractive price, undoubtedly.
Yeah, it is. This could be the identikit place for him, you know, Sawgrass. He is a shots tee to green player, isn't he? He's not massively long off the tee. And he puts like a dream and he scrambles well. They're the three criteria here for me. So, look, we don't know whether, you know, it might take a couple of events to overcome what happened in the Masters, but I'm willing to take a chance at double figure odds on what is probably the best player in the world at the moment.
Just before we go into our third and final picks then, as we've already revealed, myself and Mike have got the same selection for our third man.
Yeah, I guess at it.
Yeah, go on, have a guess.
Billy Horschel.
No, it's not Billy Horschel.
Oh, no, Billy Horschel was on my mind.
And Billy Horschel was on my mind as well, 50-1.
Yeah. Didn't you put him up last year? Because he practices all the time.
He was 100-1, wasn't he, last year?
We both put him up last year, I think, Dave. Yeah. I think.
He was either 100s or 80s here with Hills. But I know. I backed him at 100-1 last year, and the price is the only thing that puts me off Billy Horschel.
He's
40-1,
isn't he?
50-1.
He's 50. He's been pushed out a bit, yeah.
I thought that'd be enough because I thought his form was better this year than it was last. And then maybe not.
It was better, but not that much better. Yeah.
I'm not sure his scrambling's quite good enough. But he'd be there. Look, I'll have a little saver on him, I'm going to be honest. Yeah. Can't let the horse win without being aboard.
And as we mentioned, did back him last year, and he is definitely back on the radar after that good finish in Texas, wasn't it? And
you don't like him, Dave, do you? That's why you're
Billy Horschel. Well, I never think his form's good enough to just.
It's not bad at the moment. Not bad at the moment.
He had prices.
It's weird. He's not really. He had those two wins in the FedEx, didn't he? Yeah. FedEx Cup Series.
How many top fives
won that $10 million and maybe not quite achieved the amount of success many people thought likely subsequently. Yeah. I'd say that's a fair point.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's fair to say that since the FedEx, he hasn't kicked on as he should have. But I think the ability's there myself. I like him. He's a winner.
Where was he last week when he was going mad congratulating somebody?
That was when Charlie Hoffman won, wasn't it? A couple of weeks ago in Texas.
They're like massive mates.
They are very... A lot of people questioned whether he should be that excited for someone else winning an event.
Hold on a minute. We're not even picked him, have we? We're still talking about him.
He was very excited. Yeah. Go on, give us your supporting selection before we give this final pick.
Well, again, it's back to the idea of I think it's easier to pick someone to have a top 10 at 12-1, as this player is, than try and get the winner.
Okay.
Just out, you know, you said a lot of top players do win this event. How many would have gone off under 16-1 in the last 10 years?
Not many. Tiger Woods, probably.
One?
Yes, probably, but there aren't going to be many under 16-1,
well,
are there?
Under 20s, then, I say.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's just...
I've absolutely no idea, but not that many, but there's been a lot of top-class winners here, haven't there? Martin Kaymer, yeah. Henrik Stenson,
Kaymer,
Sergio
was
Garcia,
about 100-1, wasn't he, when he
Ricky
won.
Fowler. Yeah, yeah. They're big prices because they're high quality
what
fields.
What is the relevance of the betting market to them winning? Because they don't know what price they are, do they? I mean, does
they
it
don't,
matter?
But maybe they come in. There's less.
Isn't that one of those trends things that isn't really that relevant?
Yeah, but maybe you know they come in a bit under the radar a bit possibly.
I just think that you've got such a high quality field here that you're getting big prices about quality players.
Yeah, it's very competitive event.
Yeah, well, that's sort of my point, that you can find a quality player at bigger odds than
I think
taking short ones on a...
I think in all honesty, we've we've tried to do that on the podcast here, haven't we? Patrick Reed at 50 to one is a big name player at a big price, and even though Brandon Grace has been cut, he's a major he's a winner in waiting, isn't he? A similar style of player to those that have won here in the past. So
just to highlight, I think it's easy to find someone to have a top 10. That's all he needs to do. Francesco Molinari.
Right, okay.
Now, he's finished top 10 in two of his five appearances here. So that's like, you know, say McIlroy had won twice out of five, you'd be going mad about him, wouldn't you?
Mm.
So he's fulfilled that. So he's 12 to 1 for top 10 this week, Molinari. Tied ninth at Bay Hill on his last Florida start. So plays well in the Sunshine State. Tied 17th at Quail Hollow on Sunday. Solid performance.
Yep.
It's basically, I don't really need to add a lot. It's just, I think 12 to 1 is a big price on a player who maybe is a bit on the fringes in people's thoughts at the minute.
But he's probably one of those players that you can't see winning, but you can definitely see top 10.
I think this is a good course for him because he's very much your tee to green, as Mike said earlier. That's a stat he likes at this venue. I think he's a classic tee to green a merchant who can, you know, plod along and come maybe eighth or something. But I think 12 to 1 is a massive price for the top 10.
Can I say top 10-ing, by the way? Is that makes sense?
Top 10-ing.
Top 10-ing. Yeah, I can see that. 12 to 1 if you're looking at the top 10 finish market here with William Hill. Mike, final selection then.
Well, it's Chris Kirk that we've both got, isn't it, Dave? Although we both put him in because we thought he'd gone back out to 80 to 1, which he had. William Hill, and now he's back into 66.
Yeah. Mark Adsen knows what we are doing down here, and he's playing games.
But we talked about it long enough, Dave, so I've got to leave him in because I backed him every week for the last 2 years. That he's played, and even some weeks where he hasn't played. He led after 54 holes here last year, interestingly enough. His 13th position last year doesn't quite reflect that. He was leading at shot 75 in the final round. 13th the week before, bagging form as evidenced by four top 15s in his last six events, putting well, good strokes tee to green. What have you got to add?
Yeah, the only thing I've got to add is that his... He obviously got that big FedEx Cup win.
Yep.
And he's won three times in 2 years now. Yep. And one of those wins came at Colonial, which I think is one of those classic technical golf courses where you're looking at guys that wedge the ball well and put well. And his putting, if you look at his actual overall statistics, isn't good this season.
No.
But last few events really come into his own with the putter again.
He's putting well and playing well. I think you might not agree, because you were on Benny Arn, but I think he would have gone very close to winning in New Orleans. He was brilliant in that third round. Mm. I was, you know, I'd had a better than on him in running. I was cursing the weather.
He'd have been second.
I think he would have won. He was in very, very good form. But look, it's an if and but. He might have shot 78 on the, you know, the final round. Who knows? But he was certainly outstanding in the third round.
He was flying, undoubtedly.
Yeah, which is a great way to go into this event, I think. And I think Chris Kirk could go very close.
I fancy him, 66 to 1. I'm playing half a point each way. Are you doing the same?
I haven't thought about my points. I suppose I better give that some thought now before we round up, haven't I?
Let's go through some of the leading contenders just before we go through the honourable mentions. We've talked about McIlroy, Spieth and Day. And I kind of agree. I think we all agree that out of those three, Spieth is the best value at 10 to 1. McIlroy shot that pressure-free final round at Quail Hollow that moved him up the board, but he's had a tendency to just lose focus at vital times recently, McIlroy, and I think it's more he said he was too technical on Thursday at Quail Hollow. He shot front 940, and these things catch up with you at some point, and he doesn't seem...
Focus is important here, Dave,
isn't it? I think focus is very important.
You can easily it's one little worry I've got about Reed, actually, with a treble and a double bogey last week, but you can rack up big scores at this course, can't you? If you don't keep your one little mistake, can be very
all that water.
It's magnified, can't it? Definitely.
Yeah, so I agree with that.
So Spieth the best out of those three.
Day hasn't particularly played that well here, but you know he was fifth, wasn't he, in New Orleans as well? So he's. I wouldn't rule them out. Yeah, you know, I hear your point, Dave, about not fancying the market leaders, but they've all got chances. The one I thought one of you would have picked, because I'm not a massive Ricky Fowler fan. But I can't see what boxes he doesn't pick this week. And I was slightly tempted to put him in head of Spieth. Not tempted enough because I much prefer Spieth. But one here, no one's defending maybe, I think. Is that right?
Yeah.
But
he was
God,
a bit disappointing last week, wasn't he?
In contention, I thought he was very disappointing. He completely lost his way and his swings seemed to deteriorate on that back nine on on Sunday. So that would be a very much a concern.
You're
going to
let a few holes someone of his calibre put you off. It's a bit the same with speed, isn't it? If you let the 12th of Augusta put you off, okay, you might well be right, but that is what you're basing it on, isn't it? You know,
and price as well. It's not a massive price at 18-1.
I don't think so. Second and a first here. Hasn't
he? He's the defending champion this week. Yeah. That's not, as you mentioned, always been a good omen to performance.
Sorry to jump in again, but I thought you might have gone for Matsuyama this week. It was another STTG player. And
yeah.
Does he put well enough?
Well, I went for him last week, and his putting was very, very poor in the first two rounds. Very poor.
Well, he's only 25s.
Yeah, I know, and I think that's too short, Hideki Matsuyama, because he was 25s in a much weaker field last week, and he's 25s here again, so I couldn't be having him at that price.
Yeah. One I wasn't far off putting up. It's just that maybe we think he's got too much scar tissue. Sergio.
Well, he's the course specialist, isn't he? Yeah.
28-1. I bet he'll pick off four or five of those above him in the betting. It wouldn't surprise me at all if he does.
Yeah.
Played well, didn't he, at Valderrama last time when he was coming back from the Masters. Slow start there, but kind of stayed on at the finish. Got third place. Good tee to green stats. It's just that thing with him, isn't it? You think, does he really believe he can still win? I mean, he lost in the playoff here last year, but I don't know. I could certainly see him getting top five anyway.
Yeah, I could. Mm. I think if you're looking at someone that's a solid top 10, top 20 bet, Sergio Garcia is your man, isn't
he? But I think all our picks, we're thinking, well, they can win. And, you know, we're not thinking, oh, we're just going for the each way. I think Stenson can win. You think Kurt can win.
Yeah.
You know.
No, I agree.
Look, there's a lot of players can win, as I said earlier. I think, you know, it's a real tricky thing. I know you were talking about, just as we came in, Russell Knox is a decent outsider.
Yeah.
I can see that. Even Martin Laird, if he bounced back to form, used to love it here.
200, isn't he?
Yeah, he's a massive price. Yeah, the outside is Laird and Russell, the old favourite Russell Henley, who was reasonable here.
Well, how many times has Russell Henley won? Twice?
Twice, yeah.
How many times has Sergio won since he won here in 2008? Once, that's poor, isn't
it? Is that right?
Once in 8 years
on the
in America.
Wow.
So push me off.
Who else do you want to mention? Is there anyone else that before we wrap here?
I think I've just mentioned the ones that caught my eye. Maybe Zach Johnson, could see, because it does kind of one of those courses where those plotters can get. He's
Mark Leishman can play well in big events, can't he?
80-1.
80-1, close with that.
Yeah,
he's finished top 25 here the last 3 years.
And just in terms of, I like Knox and Horschel, who we mentioned, Benny Arn, who I've mentioned he's a debutant, missed the cut of the Wells Fargo, but played incredibly well on the die design. 100-1, Benny Arn, which is big.
You've got to have a look.
Yeah, might have to. At TPC New Orleans, obviously the die design when he finished second. Wouldn't put anyone off at that price. And in the same sort of mould as a Russell Knox, Kevin Na, who was 66-1.
Dave picked him last year.
I did. I like him this week, but not... I've officially given up ever backing him to win a tournament.
No,
I
think he's a Charles Howell, isn't he?
Is it once in 312 starts or something? But
what's
he for top five, Dave?
Yeah, he's the sort of guy that you want for top five and top tens, isn't he? He's actually got three top tens
in the last six years here.
So for a top 10, he's 6-1, which is fair. And if you like him for a top five, he's 16-1.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably the way you'd play it with Kevin Na nowadays.
Yeah.
Put both bits of your stake on it. Yeah, maybe. You could do one of each, couldn't you, maybe? Top 10, top five, but not the win.
A bit like I've said a few times at Augusta, the Sawgrass tournament, this event, you do need to be fairly close to the pace, don't you, early doors. It's not really great for coming from way back after. So the first round, you need to be there or thereabouts. So I'll be saving a bit of money back for a bit of in-play action, because it's a very good in-play tournament.
Mm.
All kinds of things can happen on the Sunday, as long as you're somewhere near the mix, as Ricky Fowler proved.
Well, he was actually in the eighth last group on Sunday.
Was
Fowler.
He really that far back?
That far back.
Yeah. His performance was exceptional, wasn't it? I wouldn't expect that again. But it's one of those where you can't get too far behind after the first round or even the second round. But you have got... I don't think final round leaders have an exceptional record, so... Yeah, I might be having a bet after round one, and might have a little top up on a Sunday as well.
Well, I've saved some back as well, so let's wrap up.
It's a good
up
event
then.
For in play, it really is.
Yeah,
really...
I'd like the event. I think it's a fantastic
me too,
event
me too.
To watch.
Should all the Masters there.
Yeah.
He didn't react. I was trying to get a little...
I've got three picks this week. I'm going a point each way on Patrick Reed at 50-1 and half a point each way on the other two guys. Brandon Grace at 33s and Chris Kirk at 66-1. Hopefully I can have some fun with... those guys this week. Mike's still furrowing his brow.
You got there now, go on then Mike.
Well,
Kurt's gone down to 66, so I'm going to have to drop my stake to half a point each way there, which is a bit irritating. Reed, I'll go a point each way.
Yeah.
Reed, I'll go a point and a half each way. I think he's very, very big price at 50s for a man of his calibre. And I'm going to have 3 points and Spieth to win.
Yeah, at 10-1, Jordan Spieth. You highlighted the reservation with Reed right at the end, and I'd missed it right at the end of your preview, that he can just throw in a double or a treble.
Yeah, yeah.
And that is a big concern around this golf course because mistakes are magnified here. Dave?
I will go point each way, Henrik Stenson at 30s, and I'll go to kind of mirror Mike's Spieth state. 3 points for... Francesco Molinari to have a top 10 at 12s.
Very good. Thank you for listening to the podcast, folks. Hope you enjoyed it. Remember, you can follow us all on Twitter. I'm sure there'll be tweets about the Players' Championship this week, at D. Kellner, at M. Grenham, at Dave Tindall Golf. Make sure you check out all the in-play markets we have here with William Hill as well. And myself, Mike and Dave will be back with a debrief and a look at next week's tournament on Tuesday. So make sure you join us then. Thank you for listening to the podcast, and we'll speak again soon.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.